You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 75, Uncharted Territory Redo, or Redux, something like that. Anyway, it's number 75, and I'm your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I am joined by two other people, Justin Sharp.
Hey everyone.
Alex Schrempke.
What's up everybody?
And if you couldn't tell by that third word, it means we are revisiting this topic. We talked about Uncharted Territory before, what is quality of life going to do, what is their mobile stuff going to do. But now we're back with more interesting Nintendo news, such as Shigeru Miyamoto talking to Fortune magazine about opening up to the possibility of seeing their IP on a more passive medium, such as TV and film. And, I mean, it's been such a great success in the past, in the 90s. I think we can all think of some great examples off the top of our head.
Absolutely.
So we're definitely going to start with this one before we move on to the businessy part of the optical disc drive. So what did you guys think? Did you guys, like, were you surprised at this at all? Or were you kind of suspicious, like, say, when the Netflix rumor started up months back?
Well, I didn't believe the Netflix rumors for an instant. I was like, that's, like, way too out of left field. And I'll be honest, I don't think The Legend of Zelda would translate in a movie. I don't know. I think it would be hard to do. Link is such, like, a silent protagonist that, like, giving him a voice would just sound weird, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't necessarily surprised by it, because I think even Iwata said, like, a year ago, a year and a half ago, that Nintendo was going to get more aggressive with their IPs and more licensing and stuff like that. So I think it makes sense what they're doing, you know, trying to eventually get into some movie type things. And so the fact that Miyamoto did some Pikmin stuff, I think, he's toying with some ideas.
Oh, that's right. He did do the Pikmin stuff, that little mini series, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was 3D animated, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
And, you know, I think, I mean, Nintendo obviously dabbled with some licensing very early on. Like, if you think about, like, comic books, and look at, like, the success of, like, comic book movies now. I mean, how old are comic books, guys? I mean, comic books, I mean, Superman's been around for, what, 75 years now? I mean, it's only been recently that they've seen, like, very good success. I mean, the Superman movies in the 70s and 80s were, I guess, would be successful for their time, but it's only been recently that those have been doing well. I think, like, Nintendo, you know, video games were so young, and Nintendo had been in America for so little of a time, and then, you know, Wizard and Mario Brothers came out within, like, 5 or 6 years of even being in the U.S. It was pretty quick. So I'm glad that they've taken some time, taken a hiatus. I think that whatever they do movie-wise would do a lot better, way better nowadays. 3D animation movies do really well, so, and I think that'd be a nice medium for Nintendo.
Yeah, I think we're at a perfect time frame for it, too, because you think about it, you have a generation of younger kids who are growing up and learning about it, and then you have, like, the adults who grew up on it and love it. So now it's like both kids and adults can go see this movie. There's like a wider audience for it. For both comic books, you know, and video games. So it's kind of just like that perfect time where it's like a movie for everybody and it's more popular, more mainstream than maybe it was in the 90s.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like geekier things are more mainstream now. You know, the comic book movies, for instance, or you know, comic books, video games are kind of all geeky hobbies, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess geeky things can succeed, but I just kind of wonder if Nintendo's IPs can succeed in this new medium. Because I'm trying to think of all the IP in which the characters talk, and only Star Fox really comes to mind.
Well, it's funny because, like, for me, when I think of, like, a Nintendo movie, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, a Metroid movie.
Yeah, I was actually thinking Metroid would be a good one.
Because there's such, like, a really good atmosphere of those games. And there's so much lore and stuff that you could explore. And it's easier to give Samus a voice because even in the games they've been starting to do that. So I think you have a lot to work there as far as telling a passive story, but bringing in all of those the elements of the game, like the environments and, you know, and the feeling of isolation. It's like you can do that with movies. So to me, if they were going to make a movie, you know, go with a Metroid series first.
Mm-hmm. And I think, especially if they did like a live-action movie, Metroid would translate the best to that. I mean, Star Fox. I mean, like you could do like puppets, or I mean, it may not translate very well. I mean, even Mario in real life, we've seen what happens there. I mean, it's.
What are you talking about? It was a great success.
Yeah, great success.
It only took 12 writers, like 9 scripts, and. A lot of scotch to get through it all.
Yeah.
It's a bomb.
Yeah, so I think and Metroid, I think they could do really well. Now, obviously, people are going to mention the elephant in the room, which is Metroid Other M, where they did give Samus a voice, and too much of a voice most of the time. But
a very boring elephant in the room.
Yeah. But I think they can do a Metroid really well. Metroid Other M.
Is this the third podcast in a row where I've talked crap on Metroid Other M?
You mostly talk crap on all Nintendo games so far. But
oh, okay.
It's a new record. Let's keep it going.
It's called the Voice of Reason. I'm the counterbalance.
Yeah, see, we need that. We need that. We need that good buffer. We can't just be talking to ourselves like, yeah, Nintendo's great. It is great. Yes.
I'd also like to point out that I gave Splatoon a 9.
Hey, there you go. That's good.
Very nice.
You gave a game deserving of a high score. Kudos.
Mm-hmm. So, but we're off the beaten path already.
That's what we do.
Yes.
I try to think of, like, you know, how are movies made, and how, like, Nintendo can go on with these things. And I don't think movie is the right way to go, simply because I was reading an article, and I think it was Warren Spector, and he was talking about the differences between like games and movies, and that movies, the writers have to get their story out in like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But with like, say, like games, like he was arguing for episodic games, but it's like games and like TV shows, you know, they have much more room to kind of tell this over, you know, arcing storyline, kind of like more room to build characters and create mold. So that's why I think TV would be a much better avenue for Nintendo.
Yeah, something episodic would be cool. And like the, you know, the Netflix rumor, I would love to see Nintendo collaborate with, you know, with a big company like Netflix for something. The Zelda part of that rumor was always the hard part for me to believe, but I feel like they could do something episodic with Netflix or Amazon or, you know, whoever. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of potential to get Nintendo's IPs out there more and more. I mean, like, look at something like Angry Birds, for instance. I mean, we all know Angry Birds is just, like, such a marketing you know, blitz at kids. You know, they got all these little mobile games that they're playing. Then they've got, you know, all these little plush toys. They've got lunch boxes, backpacks. I mean, you know what they're doing. They're just going after the kids. And, you know, like my nieces and nephews have got like Angry Birds stuff all over the place, right? I mean, Nintendo, if they want to get their characters out there more, you know, do some of that stuff. I think there's like an Angry Birds movie or something in production now, and it's coming out next year, so.
That's going to have a riveting plot, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's just going to be like riveting, but.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, but I feel like Nintendo, if something is vapid as Angry Birds can get that kind of support, I think you could easily do a Mario Brothers 3D animated movie or, you know, something.
Well, what if they went back into comic books? They used to have some pretty awesome comics in Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
Like, what if they partnered with Marvel or something and did, you know, I don't know how often comics were released, but you had like your issues, just like you would go in to get your Batman comics and Spider-Man comics and everything every couple of weeks, you know, like, oh, this is the new issue of the Metroid magazine or the Legend of Zelda or even like Mario.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Just because they got the reprinting now on Amazon of the Link to the Past comic that used to print. And that's like awesome if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I'd recommend picking that up. So it's like, I think they would be right at home with like comic book pages.
Yeah, definitely. I think they could do a lot with what is it? Star Wars has been doing a lot just across several different mediums. Like, I think Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars now, but. They have Marvel Comics, I think, that are leading up to the new Star Wars movies. And they're doing books, and they have the TV show, Star Wars Rebels, leading up to the movies and everything. So I feel like Nintendo could do a bunch of different types of things. You know, not necessarily one thing at one time. They could have a comic book going at the same time as, you know, leading up to some TV show or something or some new game. And Nintendo has shown that they have, you know, they've done some great quality animation in some of their games. Like, I mean, like Smash Brothers comes to mind. Like, even in Brawl, like the Subspace Emissary cutscenes were really well done, I thought. So I feel like they could. And the new Smash Brothers Wii U trailers were incredible. The ones they included on disc, you know, where they announced the different characters. I don't know, it would be like some sort of like a Smash Brothers game might even work where you have like just this crossover of all of Nintendo's universes and they're fighting the Subspace Emissary or, you know, whatever common bad guy you want. But I think I've mentioned this before, so I'm just repeating myself.
So now I'm really curious. There was that one Kirby TV show that came out. Was it Kirby Right Back At You?
Oh, yeah.
I'd actually be really curious to see like how well like that did, because from what I remember, it wasn't that bad of a TV show. It looked pretty decent as far as like animation wise goes. Really curious.
I don't remember watching that one much. I remember seeing like the Sonic show. I think they do have a new Sonic one with Boom or something. I haven't seen
yeah.
that.
Yeah, but I think that's done by a separate studio.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't tell you actually how those old cartoons did. I think I skipped that generation.
Yeah.
Too old.
And like I remember seeing like the Zelda cartoons from the early 90s and the Mario Brothers cartoons. And I think we all hold some sort of nostalgia to those, but as far as like the younger generation nowadays, I mean they've got like, you know, pretty amazing 3D animated TV shows now, or even, you know, even nicer looking, right? You know, 2D animated shows. I don't think they would feel the same pull with, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I think
it sounds like we need to get some kids together and make them watch these old videos and see what their reactions are.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a YouTube video of it somewhere. Get kids watching the original Mario Brothers Super Show. all that stuff to be like, people watch this? This is lame.
Yeah.
Like playing on their iPhones.
Kids these days.
No respect. No respect.
Don't they know who Lou Albano is?
Yeah.
The late, great Lou Albano.
Yeah.
I think I still hold on to my TV thing. I don't know about any other comics because I think – or you were talking about the multi-platform idea, Justin.
Mm.
And I kind of wonder if Nintendo might not do that simply because of the way they handle their games, which is each game is part of like a larger series, but they're also their own isolated experience. Like I could play Wind Waker, but I wouldn't have to have had played Link to the Past to get Wind Waker. Or even like Ocarina of Time to play Wind Waker. Like they make references here and there, but it's like, I think those are there just to please the fans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, each is his own encapsulated experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like Nintendo would probably handle like cross media series in the same way. Like you won't have to read the comic to enjoy the TV show or watch the TV show to enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are supplemental experiences and, they will add some value, but no one's missing out if they don't check it out or whatever.
Right, yeah, and that's definitely something like Nintendo really strives to not do, is to leave people out.
Yeah, they don't want to, like, I mean, same thing with their DLC approach. It's been pretty inclusive, I would say, and not, you know, locking off core features in DLC, you know. And obviously Splatoon's an awesome example of just, you know, hey, we're going to add lots of new features for free after the fact. But, I was going to mention something. Oh, that philosophy of Nintendo kind of, you know, grabbing little bits and pieces of, like, previous games but still making them, like, their own experiences reminds me of, like, the Star Trek series. Like, there's different series of them. You got original, Next Gen, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise. But they all do a good job of being kind of their own thing, just a part of, like, a bigger universe, right? Like, you don't have to watch the original series to enjoy Next Gen or the later on ones. There might be, like, references to events that happened that you may not get, but that's really just for the fans anyway. You can still enjoy the show just as well. Yeah, I like that approach.
Mm-hmm. And what genres do you think they should go for? Because, like, I don't know, I'm going through it over and over in my head, and it's like, if they're putting something on like as like a movie or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I see is they're either going to rehash something we've already played before, or it's going to be a new experience, and we're going to go, oh man, that'd be great to play.
Yeah, that'd be awesome in the game. Yeah, that is a good point, Matt, because yeah, Nintendo's known for doing quality things. So if that quality does carry over to their movies, then are people going to be pining for, hey, I want a game just that, exactly based on that? Or, yeah, it could create like a reverse vacuum type of effect.
Right. And, of course, this is all speculation in terms of Nintendo has a lot of control over what's going on in the production studio.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even thought about the route of Nintendo just outsources it to another studio and they use the IP, but they come up with their own story.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it sounded like they wanted to be more directly involved with it, where everything would have to be like run by and approved by them. And it sounds like there would be like more communication. That way, like the quality we expect from Nintendo kind of carries over. Because we know what happens when the movies run rampant.
Yeah. And I feel like that's probably the smartest approach. Just for video game movies in general, it's so often that they're like, hey, that's a cool game. Let's create a movie that's based nothing on it, you know, except for the name maybe, you know. So I feel like that's what happened with like the Mario Brothers movie. Nintendo is like, hey, we can make some money real quick with licensing this out. This is a studio that's done some good stuff in the past. Sure, do it, and look what happened. So maybe they'll, you know, I would also kind of chalk that up to the probably the cultural disconnect between Japan and America. You know, Hollywood and Japan, like, making movies, and maybe just even the communication gap. I mean, can you imagine, like, Nintendo, like, flying out to L.A., you know, trying to coordinate things? It just doesn't seem that feasible. Nowadays, you know, with instant communication platforms like this, with video communication, I mean, Nintendo could have their hands more involved and still be, you know, thousands of miles away, and, you know.
I disagree with that. They need to be right there on the set.
Yeah.
Because you could sneak a lot of crap through in production and just go, you know, here's a quick broadcast. Hey, look, you know, we're doing great. Here are the dailies that we're only going to show you, but here's the rest of the film, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But, sure. I mean, Nintendo could do a lot, you know, had people on the ground there, too, making sure things are going smoothly, too. But
they better have people on the ground if that's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I kind of wonder, you know, the Pokemon movies have always done really well. And I assume most of those are done in Japan, right? They come out in Japan first.
I guess so. I totally forgot about that. You said Pokemon movie. I'm thinking, like, was there a live-action Pokemon movie?
Yeah.
There's, like, a ton of animated movies. Yeah. Those always are made in Japan and released first.
But those are run through the Pokemon company, not Nintendo, right?
Yes, they are done through the Pokemon company. So I don't, and the Pokemon company may work with some studio there, but I feel like if Nintendo wanted to get involved and find a studio, they would probably do something kind of off the wall. They're not going to pick something that Americans would see as a natural choice. Like, oh, they're going to do Netflix? All right. Hey, they did Arrested Development and, you know, House of Cards, you know, all this other stuff. You know, Nintendo's just going to go to, like, Studio Ghibli or, you know, so someone that's popular there in Japan that has a really good studio. And I'd be all for that.
You're right. You bring up a good point, which is we're all thinking that they're just going to go straight to Hollywood when they probably won't, they might not even leave the country for their stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like they could easily build it all in Japan and then just distribute it. Then you just have people localizing voices or, you know, that would be the ideal approach maybe from their perspective, but.
Man, could you imagine, like, a themed Studio Ghibli a movie? How amazing that would be.
Yeah. Just
let that thought sink into your head for a moment.
I gotta be honest, I haven't seen really any Studio Ghibli movies.
What? Stop this podcast right now.
We'll ban him from now on.
I'm the host. I'll ban you. I'll have my own podcast. It's just me talking to me.
They are some pretty good movies. I love the animation style too. Most of Miyazaki's movies just have a lot of emotion and depth to them, to the characters, and I feel like Nintendo would like that a lot, especially if they were trying to do a movie.
They basically kept the spirit of Disney 2D animation alive.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You know what would be a good testing ground for Nintendo and that kind of stuff? Kid Icarus.
Yeah?
Because they haven't... There's only two Kid Icarus games out there, right?
No.
There's some stuff out there. There's three?
Yeah, there were two games. Wasn't the second one on the Game Boy?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Was it Amiss and Monsters or something?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't remember that one. Like, when Kid Icarus Uprising came out, they're like, oh, it's finally a sequel. I was like, well, it sort of had a sequel way back. But.
So they've had three games, two from, like, the 90s and 80s, and then one recently. And they have enough for, like, a world. They've already built a world, right?
Yeah.
But they don't have much lore or anything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not much in comparison to, like, the normal IPs, like Legend of Zelda or Metroid or Star Fox. So they already have a lot of space to breathe and to, like, experiment with different plot lines to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they could do a lot of stuff and, you know, fans aren't going to go, oh, well, that, you know, that contradicts this plot right here in this game, or this contradicts this plot in this game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure, you know, if they want to test it with, like, one of their IPs that they haven't touched much. So, you know, Kid Icarus, again, Star Fox, because there's only been, like, oh, okay, there's been more than two, considering up the new one. So yeah, just start with Kid Icarus and go from there.
I could see that one being an animated cartoon series.
Yeah.
Real easy, especially with the way they've gone, like character direction wise, how it's more kind of like goofy and silly in Uprising.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely fit into like a cartoon setting like perfectly.
Oh yeah, I actually really enjoyed the, kind of the character's dialogue monologue as he's going through in Uprising. I thought they did a good job with the, talking with enemies and it played pretty fun. They kept it pretty lighthearted.
Which is exactly Nintendo style, lighthearted.
Yep.
Until Metroid and some iterations of Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah, Other M, I think Team Ninja got the best of the name. But I do think that, like, potentially Platinum Games, and we'll see how Star Fox turns out. Hey, I still can't believe that's coming out before Xenoblade, and we've seen so much about Xenoblade. You know, and like we don't know nothing about like Star Fox's story, or I'm gonna get off on a tangent.
Well, technically, Xenoblade already came out just in Japan.
That's true. Yeah, you make a fair point. But even like, I don't know. Like, and all the level, most of the levels we've seen so far, are like Star Fox 64 demo levels in HD, anyways, but I feel like Platinum, my point was that Platinum Games has shown that they can do really well with, like, action games, and, like, Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 have some of the best cutscenes and, action set pieces and in recent memory, whether that's movies, TV shows, or video games. They did a great job with it, so.
Yep, and Bayonetta really is the lighthearted, family-oriented series that Nintendo is always looking for.
I know. It's the one they need to strive for.
No innuendos in there at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You guys have seen that, it's like a animated GIF or something. But I think they like splice together an actual Nintendo commercial, and it shows these kids with like a whiteboard or something.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, why we need a Wii, or why we need to get a Wii, or something like that. Oh, and then parents are sitting on the couch. And so they're like, hey, why do we need to get a Wii U? And blah, 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 they listen to these points. And then you see on the TV, like the Bayonetta 2, like crotch shot come on the TV. And the parents are like,
Well, Dad is sold.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
I'm just going to keep us rolling along here because we got a few more topics here.
Yes.
Let's talk about that patent that just came out. Stationary console, no optical disc drive.
I'm totally okay
with this. This one's got me so puzzled.
I'm totally okay with this, guys.
Well, first I'm going to talk about it on the premise that it could be a standalone console. And then we could go on to it, because Alex and I were talking about it before the KoopaCast, and I think we've come to an idea of what it possibly could be and how it would make sense.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a standalone console with no disk drive at all, then at that point there's two possibilities. Either it's like using little cards or cartridges or whatever, or it's all through your internet. And if it's all through internet, that's a terrible idea. It was a terrible idea when we thought Xbox One was going to do it. It was a terrible idea when Xbox One wanted to have you online all of the time, but you can still buy some physical discs. Yeah. So it would be a disaster if this new console was online only.
Well, I don't think Nintendo would do that. If it's a digital storage system, you could download the game and play it offline for sure. I don't see Nintendo doing the Xbox One online only approach.
Right, but it's still, like, it's still the internet that's still the obstacle. Because I have okay internet, you have okay internet, mm-hmm. Alex has okay internet, most of Japan has okay internet.
Mm-hmm.
That guy in, Kansas, he still has dial-up for some reason, because that's all he can get out there is dial-up.
Right.
You know, what's he going to do?
I do see Nintendo offering some sort of a... And I think if you look at the patent, they mentioned some sort of a card slot or something.
Yeah, there's an SD card slot, I think.
Yeah, and it may be that I know in like some early patents they showed like a handheld with an SD card slot that you know, could have eventually just been a moniker for the 3DS cards, right? Because the 3DS cards are, you know, modified type of an SD card, or, you know, new type of a cartridge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. They're SD-esque.
Yeah, so I could see Nintendo, perhaps, if we go with the theory that Nintendo's doing some sort of, like, a hybrid mobile console system, you know, you would still have maybe physical copies that you could buy, but you would still, you know, the majority of the system would just be played, you know, you download your games or whatever. I think the benefit to having cards or cartridges, whatever you want to call them, is that they are solid state, and solid state memory is getting a lot cheaper now. I mean, you look like flash drives. I mean, they have like 64 gig flash drives that fit almost flush into your USB port now. I mean, with storage like that, you're getting to the point where optical medium is just, it's just not practical anymore. So I don't know. I see it as kind of inevitability, but. And I'm all for it, since I'm already digital. But.
Yeah, but, well, I got no argument on that, actually. I mean, if solid-state drive does turn out to work, then, you know, I'm for it, too.
Yeah.
Just as long as, it's, you know, we're not raising the price of the games that we're buying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the technology has not caught up yet or something.
Yeah, because I think they can easily do, like, a, you know, super cheap USB flash-like pluggable media, right, for a game that you can buy physically at a brick and mortar store, and still make it secure or whatever, you know, so it's not piratable or whatever their, you know, problems are with that. So they can still do something like that, but I think the majority of people will, you know, if they don't have an optical drive, they're just going to choose, hey, I can just download it, cool. But I don't think Nintendo is going to make something exclusively that way without having some sort of option. But who knows?
Well, it is interesting to note that one of the points was that it would be able to connect to another gaming apparatus with an optical drive. So I'm wondering if that's hinting to backwards compatibility with the Wii U.
Ah, interesting.
Not to mention that the controller itself, they specified that it's supposed to have a game screen on it. So it can display images on that instead of the TV.
And both of those would be compatible with the idea that Iwata presented way back when he talked about the NX was going to complement the 3DS and the Wii U.
Yeah. And I do think that this goes back to what I was mentioning about the Wii U several times, that I feel like the Wii U is a stepping stone system. The reason you don't see Nintendo lowering the price drastically to try and sell Wii U's, you know, or any of that stuff, they're playing a long game here. You know, they want to just, hey, let the games speak for themselves. You know, let the off TV experiences, you know, resonate with people, and the next system will, you know, further reinforce it, I think. And I think that's where a lot of people have made that assumption that it's going to be some sort of a handheld console hybrid. You have some new system, new handheld that can be played completely, you know, on the go, come back to the system. And you know what? That would kind of make sense if this patent is for the new handheld, which is also a controller for the new system. I mean, potentially if it's backwards compatible with the Wii U, you can hook up Bluetooth to the Wii U, no problem, right? And then you could use the optical disk drive to boot up games. And they could use the new handheld system to stream the Wii U games directly to the handheld.
So what's all the talk about the stationary game apparatus?
I mean, you know, it could be that it has another, like, a base station or something. Because some of what, you know, the theory surrounding the handheld console thing is you would have something that would maybe boost your performance or give you some extra horsepower when you're at home. You know, some sort of a console standard system, maybe it's just essentially just a storage where it stores your games, and then you have your little handheld system, bring it in, sync it up, you know, play the games. I don't know, but this is all just speculation. But Nintendo's always done backwards compatibility, at least since the GameCube. Well, the GameCube wasn't backwards compatible with 64, but with the Wii, backwards compatible to GameCube, Wii U backwards compatible, DS, 3DS, Game Boy Advance, they set that precedent there. So I would think they would at least support the Wii U games with better.
I just wonder how far they're going to leap forward in terms of technology then. Because it sounds like the way we're going, this new NX might not be any more powerful than the Wii U is now.
Why would you think that?
It's just more of a, it's like they're focusing on other things. I don't know, I'm really just like thinking out loud as it comes to my brain.
Yeah, no, I can see what you're saying as far as like if they were to focus, let's say, on the handheld to make sure that they can make experiences on the handheld match up with what's on their new console and make it kind of its own, it's one system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe, yeah, it's not visually that much better than the Wii U, maybe. And then maybe the, I don't know, the base station or whatever the console is gives you, you know, anti-aliasing or the ability to play, you know, games in a little higher fidelity, I don't know, but I don't know, I feel like I got to experience the Vita with the remote play. One of my cousins, he's got a PS4, and he was showing me one game on his Vita. He was like, hey, let me see if I can connect to my PS4. It connected up pretty quick, and he was playing games there on his Vita, and it's using probably the Gaikai service that Sony bought. And it's not the greatest. I mean, there's still, like, compression artifacts and stuff, but the frame rate is able to keep up at, like, 60 frames per second or whatever the game runs at, and it just, like, subtly adjusts the quality. But it's kind of cool because people will kind of give up a little bit of that just to be able to play some of these massive games on the go. So maybe Nintendo is working on some sort of solution to that. I know with the Wii U, they're like, hey, you know, you can only do it with, you know, within 30 feet because we wanted to, you know, make sure the connection was super fast. There wasn't any input lag. And I think they did an awesome job with that on the Wii U. But I think people are willing to take some of that, not necessarily input lag, but artifacts or compression or something to stream and be able to get that content wherever they are. I don't know.
Well, I believe
I
read
somewhere. Quality, but, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I believe the controller is supposed to have a processor in it as well. I don't know if that's significant at all. That might just be for handling the video on the screen.
Well, that might lead credence to that it is its own system. Like the controller is a handheld device, because I'm pretty sure the Wii U, it probably doesn't even have a processor on the controller itself. It would just need something to render basic visuals onto the screen, or you know, or a wireless chip to be able to relay that. But if this new controller does have its own CPU and or GPU built in, then it's pretty much like what a 3DS would be. It would be able to handle its own processing, its own games.
I just want to point out that that's speculation, because I had to weave through a lot of legal mumbo jumbo in their patent thing, so don't take that as 100% fact, folks.
Yeah, we're really kind of just talking all based off of one patent article.
One very long patent article.
And the patent writing in general is just so...
It's very repetitive, and then you get lost in the repetitiveness. And
like, it's kind of like deliberately nonspecific, you know?
Yeah, it's got to be as vague as possible.
Yeah, it's got to be vague, so they're not giving away necessarily trade secrets, but it's got to be specific enough so that if somebody does try and duplicate it when they finally come out with their product, they can see, hey, yeah, this was a duplication. But it's very interesting reading patent documents.
And of course, this is all considering the possibility that Nintendo goes through with whatever's in this patent application. And this isn't just a patent application to cover their bases for another patent that might come out later that actually is the NX.
Right.
Exactly.
Because, like, what would you think Nintendo's ratio is? Like, for one, every patent that actually applies to a product, they must have, like, 10 patents that don't?
Yeah.
That they just had to file anyway?
Probably. Just to cover their intellectual property or, you know, their designs.
Or any possible designs therein that they might, you know, that might have considered.
Yeah. And I bet you, yeah, like, if you have, like, 10 ideas for a console, you may think that, like, 5 of them are really good, but only one of them is marketable, right?
Yeah, so
you go with the marketable one, but you're probably still going to patent some of those ideas from the other ideas, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like smart business. And then they could use them later on, you know, whether or not they use them now. But yeah.
Maybe I should just rename this episode Speculation Cast.
Yeah, this is a...
I think Uncharted territory works,
yeah,
you know?
It does work. You know, what was the other point you wanted to bring up, Matt? Uncharted territory was the directs, right?
This is Uncharted territory redo or redux, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
I think that was it.
Okay.
Is it redo or redux?
I think redux.
I don't know. Redux is the...
It sounds cooler.
The American way, I would say.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I heard Redux because it's some game.
Yeah.
It just sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
You were mentioning Uncharted territory, and I thought at one point you were talking about, you know, now that Awad has passed away, and what was it, Monday we got that big press release of all of those release dates, right?
Oh, yeah, that was in a team meeting.
Yeah, so... It kind of seems like, I mean, Nintendo may still do another Direct here soon, because I think they need to do something, at least for Star Fox. I mean, we don't know anything about the game. I think you'd think there'd be like at least one more good trailer before the game comes out in November. I mean, and they may not do a Direct. They may do just kind of like the American Directs that they did, where they just have like Bill Trennan doing something silly and just showing trailers pretty much the whole time.
Hang on a sec. Let me... interrupt you with something.
Yeah.
It's Redux. If you didn't hear that.
No.
I didn't hear it.
Come on, phone.
It's Redux?
It's Redux.
Nice.
Haha.
You were right.
Redux.
There, did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You can continue. We can continue on with industry discussion after we solve a grammar discussion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that, Nintendo as a company is definitely in a little bit of some uncharted territory with, you know, this kind of limbo of, you know, when are they going to announce their next president? Are they still going to continue to do some of the initiatives that Iwata set in place? I mean, so a lot of the leadership may be like, oh, you know, these Nintendo Directs went on for a while. It's kind of cool, but we don't need to do it, you know?
I hope not. I mean, that was pretty much like Nintendo's biggest proof that they were still alive and wanted an interaction with like their community.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think they lead the way on that. I mean, you know, Sony and Microsoft, I think, have taken a lot of cues from that for some of their digital events that they've done leading up to E3 and stuff like that. But so I hope they still do it, but. It's just interesting. I wonder if...
Who knows? They may be trying to...
Yeah.
And if they get rid of it, we'll take it over. We'll have pure Nintendo Direct.
There you go.
You copyright. Think... Copyright, trademark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patent pending.
Do you think we'll hear about Nintendo's new president before the next Direct?
No.
Why not?
Because I think, and this is like really going off the top of my head here, I think that they have to elect the new president by election.
Yeah, probably.
So, and that's probably just going to take a little, like a while. And it's probably going to take, if they do continue with Nintendo Direct, I think it's going to take too long between when they need to elect it and when the next Nintendo Direct is. So, they probably won't elect it till president till like the end of, I say, this fiscal year. That way, they have like everything's kind of starting all at once, like new president, new fiscal year.
Yeah.
You can really see where the line is. So, yeah. So that's not going to happen for a while. And that's like 6 months from now or something, right?
Yeah, their fiscal year ends March 31st.
Yeah, so they got a ways to go for the next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that they're going to have a direct before the next president.
I don't know. I kind of think that we might have the president announced before, just because I would think if you continue the Nintendo Direct, you would want to have the NCL president involved. You know what I mean?
He wants to be involved, yeah, but if you have the actual president and he says he doesn't want to be involved in a Nintendo Direct, you can't shove him on stage anyway.
Yeah, I would think that would be like one of the key points of becoming president is the aptitude or the willingness to do stuff like that. I mean, he's got to be willing to get up in public at trade shows anyway. So
yeah, I mean, trade shows and conferences are one thing, and like the directs are another thing. I mean, I think Iwata chose to be involved and to spearhead that thing.
Yeah.
I think if any pressures are going to come from the next president to also do that, it's going to be because Iwata did it, but right. At the same time, they might not do it because of Iwata. The Nintendo Directs were his thing, and I don't want to be, you know, Iwata's replacement or...
Right. Well, that brings up why I even do Nintendo Directs. Just release, they've got a YouTube channel, just release the trailers. Just have a chunk of trailers that come out on a day, boom.
Right, but they can have other speakers that just aren't the president of Nintendo.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, to me, then it's not a Nintendo Direct. But
we've had Nintendo Directs without Iwata before, right?
Oh yeah, but you still have Reggie in there, or I mean, what was that Bill Trennan one where he did the Tomodachi Life? Was it only him, or was I think
Reggie? Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just Bill Trennan, Bill Trennan was the main star anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could still do stuff like that. But right. Those never felt like Nintendo Directs. Nintendo Directs are official, you know, come straight from the source and, you know, have a lot of big stuff in it. Those were I would consider it like a Nintendo Direct Mini, where it's like even the ones where they didn't even have a Nintendo crew in there, where they did Monster Hunter specific ones in Japan, where they had Capcom people doing it the whole time. They had some other ones where they were kind of developer specific ones. Which is totally fine. But.
Right. Yeah, like a Xenoblade Direct, we had that.
Yeah, but I would still miss that coming directly from the president of Nintendo.
Yeah.
But
I think even if the president does, the new president does do it, it might not be for a while anyway, because he's got to get into his role first. Not only does he have to get used to the workload of, you know, the president, but he's also probably got to catch up on a lot of stuff that Nintendo needed to catch up on without a president.
Yeah, that's true.
I still hold on to that. They're gonna be reinvent the Nintendo Direct a little bit, because to me that just feels like it was kind of like a personal thing that Iwata did.
Yeah.
So I almost feel wrong to see somebody else take a spot. I'm not sure how their sentiments would be on that, but I know personally for me it would just be strange.
I think it'd be strange if the new guy came up there, or gal. I mean, equal opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
If the new person kind of came up and they said Nintendo, and then they went directly like that, I think that might be weird, because that's just too much Iwata.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they would have to at least honor him or mention him, hey, you know, I'm not, you know, we're doing this to, you know, to continue Iwata's legacy and, you know, bringing things directly to you. So you know, something where they're self-diminishing themselves, but you know. Showing what I want to have led.
Just to make it clear that obviously he was very important to not only people in the industry, but to us as fans, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was clearly demonstrated with all the fan art and outpouring of support.
Oh, yeah.
Once he passed, so.
Yeah.
That's why I think if they're going to do something, it should be a little different, just to kind of, you know, let that honor him, let that be his thing that he started and that he did.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, if that's the case, then Nintendo still needs to find a way to directly communicate with its community and stay active.
Mm-hmm.
They will. It just takes time.
Yep.
A very long time, because we got to find a new president and blah, blah, blah.
I do hope that, regardless whether it's a new president first or a Nintendo Direct first, I do hope, in September we hear something. I think they usually do a Direct around September. mid to late September or something. So hopefully there's something planned there, because that's kind of like, you know, fall is kind of officially starting. Does fall start the end of September?
I have no idea. I think so.
Yeah.
Like the 20th?
Because summer officially starts like June 20. Or July, August, September, yeah, that's 3 months. So yeah, September 20 would be like official start of fall. So yeah, they usually do something like that leading into the fall season.
September 23rd.
There you go. So hopefully, regardless of Nintendo's present or not, we should at least get some sort of... If they do a Nintendo Direct, traditional or otherwise, we should have something next month, I would imagine. Because it's been long enough since E3.
Yeah, Nintendo's been silent too long.
Mm-hmm.
They need to let people know that they're still going.
We want more announcements. We will not be satisfied.
We want some announcements.
Yes. Especially Star Fox.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Announcements not in a list form.
Yes, yeah, not in a typed up list form.
Anyway, with that demand, I think we will end this episode of the podcast.
Yes.
So I want to thank anybody who is watching for watching us, any listeners for listening to us. And I'd like to thank Alex and Justin for joining me.
Always a good time.
And if you would like to get in touch with us, if you would like to ask a question to our podcast, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can always leave a comment below any KoopaCast posting that we post that week. So this week, say all of a sudden it's Tuesday. We turn back time. Now it's Tuesday. And the KoopaCast is tomorrow. And you want to leave a question for us talking about, you know, Nintendo's Uncharted territory. You can leave that below. PureNintendo.com. Look for the posting. There it is. Boom. Click it. There you go. All right. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we each have our Twitter handles below our very video. If you're listening to the audio version, I am at Purely Matt. Justin is at Purely Justin. And Alex is at Alex Schramke?
Schramke, yeah. Would you like me to spell that for you?
S-C-H-R-A-M-K-E.
You got it, dude.
Nailed it.
Thank you, thank you. I learned all... I like to thank reading for that.
Hooked on phonics. It worked for me.
School worked for me, not hooked on phonics. Okay, whoa. We're sliding back. So, thank you all for listening, watching, however you consumed it. Awesome. And for those of you listening on iTunes, we'd like to thank you for listening. Again, the KoopaCast comes on every other Thursday for iTunes. And with that, we will see you later.
Hey, everyone.
Good night, everybody.